Well, good evening, everybody. It's encouraging to see everyone come out to listen to what God has done in my life. And let me see now. If you'll excuse me, I'm very nervous. For those of you who know me quite well, you know I'm generally very quiet. And while I am nervous, I'm also very excited to share my testimony with you. You are my church family, and I would like you to know me, more deeply. So I guess I will start. If I could open with a word of prayer. Father, you are so wonderful. Your love for us and your kindness. Father, please give me the words to speak. Give me the strength to speak and to share what you have done in my life, Father. It's not about me, but it's about you. And I want to give you all the glory tonight. In Jesus' name, amen. I guess I'll start from the beginning. I was born in a Christian home to Christian parents. And I grew up going to the Crapo Gospel Hall, and we went there until I was around 10, and we left, and unfortunately we didn't go anywhere else, so I didn't have a lot of Christian influence in my life. I went to public school, so the majority of my influence was worldly, and what my parents did talk about a lot was the rapture. I grew up with a fear of being left behind in the rapture, but I wasn't interested in the gospel. I was happy to ignore God and live my own way. My parents would preach to me many times that I need to be saved. And I don't know. I guess I didn't see my own sin, so I didn't see the need to be saved. 2015, I left home to move to Fredericton, New Brunswick, and I took a two-year course in audio engineering, and I thought that was great. I wanted to leave the authority of my parents and go my own way and have the freedom to live life the way that I wanted to live. And you think you're free, but you're really a slave. And when you're saved, it's the opposite. Well, before you're saved, you look at Christianity as, well, I looked at it as maybe slavery, but when you're saved, you really have the freedom to live real life, not be in bondage to sin. So I was able to do whatever I wanted, so I became an adulterer. I was living in fornication, and I used filthy language quite a bit. I went to parties, and that left me very empty. Always longing for something more. I suffered from depression. I got clinically diagnosed with depression and anxiety. And although I didn't know it at the time, that was the result of sin. I remember being afraid to live, afraid to wake up in the morning, afraid to face reality. I thought it'd be easier if I didn't live. I remember being so depressed, I would sit on the floor and stare at the wall. And life was empty. You know, when you're depressed, it's not really sadness, it's a lack of feeling, a lack of emotion. So I had no rest, I had no purpose, and I had no identity. My aunt, Maria Mooney, introduced me to the Corvos. To this day, I can't tell you why I went along with it, but I did. And in Fredericton, I met Karen Corvo. It's a lovely woman. Sorry. And she invited me into her house. She invited me out to the meetings at McLeod Hill. And I kept going. And I'll never forget, one day they invited me out to a barbecue in a park, public park. And I looked around at all these Christians, and I thought, wow, they have something I don't have. They're so happy. You know, I never forget that. And, so I came home deeply troubled. I came home feeling the deep burden of my sin, and I was looking for help. I went to a gospel meeting, a tent meeting actually. Again, I don't know why. Sorry. I don't know why. I knew what I had grown up with, and I knew that the doctors, other religions, didn't really offer any help. But I remember what my parents taught me. So I started to ask myself questions. Is God real? What is my purpose in life? Who am I? I started looking at books on my dad's bookshelf. I saw my old Bible, my first Bible when I had when I was a kid, the Bible I had in the hall. I started reading it. I also found a book called Pilgrim's Progress. I'm sure many of you know that book. That book was instrumental in my salvation. The story of Christian bearing his burden. Knowing he had this weight of sin on his back, and he wanted to know how to get rid of it. And I opened that book, and I read that first chapter, and I said, God, this is me. It was so relatable. And so I wanted to keep reading and find out how he got rid of this burden on his back. And maybe that would help me get rid of my burden on my back. And he gets to the cross. He climbs that hill. He gets to the foot of the cross. And he just drops it. It falls down a hole. And I said, God, is it that easy? You just drop it at the foot of the cross? In that same theme, I'll never forget reading Matthew 11:28-30. I remember I was sitting on my bed when I read it. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I remember reading Genesis and the story of creation and being blown away. I mean, I've read it before when I was a kid, but after asking myself the questions for so long, where did I come from? Why am I here? And simply just believing what God wrote in Genesis. I don't remember the day, the exact date when I was saved. I think a lot of people don't, but I do remember the season. I was standing at work. Now, I don't know if this was the moment, but I'll never forget it. I was standing at work at a I was working in a glass plant in Borden, and I was working at a wrapping table where you just wrap glass in cardboard, and I was standing there all by myself thinking about my sin and thinking about how it could be saved. And I realized how simple it was to believe God, and I'll never forget the feeling of peace that came over me. Again, I can't say for sure if that's when I was saved, but realizing that I could simply drop my burden at the foot of the cross, and that the finished work of Christ was enough to forgive my sins. I didn't have to do any more. And I didn't have to carry that load anymore. So, I don't know, did I say the fall? Some late summer, maybe fall, 2017. Saved. And I started experiencing changes I couldn't explain. I used to think before I was saved that, you know, I was hesitant because if I chose to be saved, then I would have to give up things that I liked, maybe. It's kind of a funny thought now, but when I was saved, those things just disappeared. Like, I lost interest in certain things I didn't have to give them up. I just didn't want them anymore. I stopped swearing. I can remember that. I hated my sin. When I said I didn't have rest, purpose, or identity, I found rest in the finished work of Christ. I had a purpose to glorify God in everything I did. And I had an identity in Christ, in His body. And I realized I wasn't saved before because I didn't understand my own sin. I didn't see a need. I didn't know the depravity of my heart. But after I lived in sin for 2 years, I knew. I lived it. I suffered from it. And it was then I needed a cure. So. But obviously justification is just the beginning. sanctification. It's a life's work, and we'll never be perfect until we get to heaven. So I experienced very little growth for the first couple of years I was saved. I didn't have a church. I didn't see the need for a church, to be honest. If it wasn't for my Uncle Leonard, I probably would have never gone to a church, which would have been a shame. You know, I was here in 2019 for a little while, and I left, and I went to, I didn't go anywhere for a while. In 21, I went to a house church. Was born from COVID, very small group, and I learned a lot about people, about myself. I grew, and like I said, I realized how necessary a church is for growth. I had a few issues there and didn't feel like I could grow there anymore or fully serve God in the way I wanted to. So I came back here a couple months ago. And I really want God to use me. I want my life to glorify Him for the things He has done in me. Through me. The last year I've gone through a few different hardships. And God has used those trials to break me. He brought me to my knees and made me realize that when you lose things, you hang on to what you can't lose, and that is Christ and our salvation. These hardships brought me to rely on God and brought me deeper into His Word and in prayer and I thank Him for that. In closing, I guess, if I could just say a few words to any who might be listening who are not saved, young people especially. I know what it's like to suffer from depression. I know what it's like to feel lost. Don't listen to the world when they try and tell you to believe in yourself or follow your heart. Believe God. Believe His word. He's the one who created you. He has a purpose for you. There's nothing else in this world that will satisfy that deep longing in your soul except for Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your mercy, for your great mercy, for pulling me, for pulling us out of darkness into light. Thank you that you have saved us from our sin, from our lost condition. Thank you that you choose to work through us weak individuals. Father, may we give you the glory in everything that we do and say, and may our focus be on you always. In his name we pray, amen.